Good news.
That is the message today. God wants to repeat that loudly and clearly so we get it. So let's bow our heads and pray and ask Holy Spirit to open our hearts and allow him into those areas where he really needs to work. Father, we submit to you. We submit to your word. You have wrote it for our edification. You have written the Old Testament, Paul says, as examples for us to follow. Not that we follow in their footsteps, that we follow and learn from them that you are Almighty God and you are able to save us, redeem us, set us free from the things that keep us captive. Mm-hmm. And Lord, even as far as our character, that you are able to transform us into the image of Christ, where out of our lips come praise instead of complaining, even in the midst of trials, Lord, mm-hmm. that we have been linked to the Lion of Judah. And Judah means praise, and in him we praise. And if we have nothing to praise in the natural, we can always go to your word and see that we are in Christ. You have saved us and redeemed us. And for that alone, if nothing good ever happens to us again, we are in Christ. And for that, we praise you. Mm-hmm. Lord, we want to hear from you today, individually, corporately. There's a message that you want to preach to your church. And we are open to receive it, heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit. So come, Lord Jesus, walk amongst us. Mm-hmm. Open our ears and hearts to receive for your glory, Lord. And everyone said, amen.
Amen.
Are you in the book of Ruth?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ruth. Back up one book to the very last chapter.
Okay.
Because this takes place, the story of Ruth happens in the time of the judges. This is how the book of Judges closes, verse 25 of chapter 21. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Okay? That's the time Ruth, Naomi's living in. That's the time we're at today. Okay? There is no king in this land. Jesus has been dethroned by secular humanism, relativism, which is basically doing whatever is right in your own eyes. Whatever feels good, you do it. That's the time we're living in. Sadly, just like the people of God in the book of Judges who were chosen, who were rescued and redeemed and set free by the Lord, they reverted back to, we don't want a king, we want to do what's right in our own eyes. That's the story of Judges over and over. And they keep getting into trouble. They keep turning their back on God. And God has mercy on them when they cry out. And he sends a deliverer, a judge. And the judge comes and he sets them free and defeats the enemy that's oppressing him. And then 40, 30 years later, the cycle continues again. They fall into sin. They allow the world to contaminate them, to take them away from God. And they get into trouble. And God sends them an enemy to wake them up and to get them out of their stupor and to also as a discipline. God disciplines those he loves, and so he sends an enemy in, and they suffer the consequences of falling into the traps of the world and following the gods of the world. And next thing you know, they realize, oh no, here we go again. We're an oppressed people, and we got to cry out again. And God has mercy on them and sends another judge, and this happens. And the book of Judges is six judges recorded, although there were 12 in total. It's a period of about three, depending when scholars agree, it happened about 300, 350 years of this cycle continuing over and over and over again. God draws them back to himself, and they leave God after a while, and they allow the world to contaminate them, and then you know the story. They eventually feel the weight of their sin and their choices. They cry out to God, and God sends a deliverer, just like he did with us. We were in the world. God sent a deliverer, Jesus, 2,000 years ago, and he comes to rescue us from the world. He's the ultimate judge. He's the ultimate rescuer, the ultimate deliverer, Jesus Christ. So we praise God that we have him, and he's rescued us. As Christina said, he's taken us from the land of bondage into the land of promise, and we don't want to go back there.
Amen.
However, here's the reality. We're no different. We end up going back there. Whether we go back physically or in our mind, we end up going back there. And the book of Ruth, I always wondered, you know, why is it called Ruth? It's really the story of Naomi. It's the story of Naomi. Ruth is the vehicle through which Naomi gets delivered. And I'm going to talk more about that. But I want to today follow the story of Naomi, because it's a story where many of us are at. And many of us are in that situation, maybe because we didn't have a choice. We were led there. And you say, why, God, is my life so hard? Why is it so difficult? I didn't choose this. I just kind of got swept in and taken there. And I don't know if you're feeling that, but this is really the message God laid on my heart, that we are living in a time where, excuse me, the world is so messed up, and the church is so messed up, that if we're not careful, if we're not strong in the Lord and the power of His might, we can get sucked into it, okay? And we can get dragged into a place we don't want to go. And it's not really our own doing, but it's just the circumstances of life end up there. We end up discouraged and defeated and feeling like Naomi, where I don't want you to call me Naomi, which means pleasant and delightful. I don't want you to call me that anymore, because I'm bitter. Okay? I'm Mara. I'm in a place of a pit, and my life is not going well right now. I've experienced a lot of tragedy, and I don't know why. What did I do wrong? I didn't do anything wrong. But life just is not going my way. Okay? That's life, friends. That's life. We don't ask for the sickness to come. We don't ask for the death of a spouse to come. But it comes.
Right.
Okay? And there's nothing we can do about it. Yeah. But God.
Yeah.
But God.
Yeah.
Okay? That's the message. And the reason I read the last verse, and I've read a few commentaries. I love to just make sure that I'm on the right track. I'm a little off. I haven't read this particular thing I'm going to preach on. However, I have read enough to back up that we need to focus on King Jesus.
Amen.
Okay? That's the message. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. How does the story of Ruth begin? Verse 2, the name of the man was Elimelech, means my God is king. Now this name, Elimelech, my God is king, keeps coming up over and over. Chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 4, very clearly. And to me, this is the message of the book of Ruth. Naomi, even in her suffering, she had to work through her bitterness and possibly even being a little angry at God for what happened to her. But through God's leading and God's circumstances and God's sovereign rule over her life, she was led out of that place of bitterness into declaring, my God is king, and receiving and stepping into the covenant promise that my God is king. And I just want to declare that today over us. My God is king. Jesus Christ is king, and I'm in him. I'm in him. I belong to him. I do not belong to the world. Now, let's just go, and I'll start to show you what I mean. Chapter 1. It came about in the days when the judges governed that there was a famine in the land. There's a famine in the land. Famine is a judgment of God on the people of God. All through the Old Testament, he warned them over and over, Deuteronomy 17, Deuteronomy 28, and then through Joshua. Joshua warned them again. Guys, if you leave the Lord, if you abandon the Lord, if you turn to idols, if you turn to the world, these are the things that are going to happen to you. Okay? Famine, drought, pestilence, all that stuff. You'll not be the head, you'll be the tail. Okay? And so this is what's happened. There's a famine in the land. It's the time of the judges. The people of God have turned from God, and they're experiencing the consequences of their choices. Okay? God doesn't want to do that. He allows that to happen to wake up his people, to bring them back to him. Okay? We don't run to God on our own unless there's a problem. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
You know, maybe as you mature, I've been following Jesus long, 25 years now, so I've learned that there's no place I'd rather be than Jesus. But every so often I take matters into my own hands. I used to, and maybe still do. But when I do that, it's not good. Okay, the fruit is not what God wants to see in my life. So, they went into the land. There's a famine. The famine drives them out. And Elimelech, who is the leader of the family, right? He leaves with his wife, Naomi, and children. He's from Bethlehem. What does Bethlehem mean? It's the house of bread. Now, friends, you got to look up the names in the Bible, because they mean something, okay? He's leaving the house of bread into the land of Moab. Do you know anything about Moab? Do you know who Moab was? He is the son of the incestuous relationship with Lot and his daughter. Okay? Moab is a cursed people. They are a cursed people. When the Israelites are traveling through the land in the book of Numbers, they did not want to feed the Israelites who have been on this journey. And they said, no way, we don't want you in here. So what did they do, the king of Moab? You know this story, Balak? Balak and Balaam? He said, we got to get a prophet in here to curse these people, because if they stay in our land, they're going to eat all our food and take all our cattle and livestock and everything, and they're going to just wipe us out by eating everything we have worked for. And so they hire a prophet to curse Balaam, to curse the Israelites. Okay? Are you following me? So they are a cursed people, and they want to put this curse on them, on the Israelites. They don't like the Israelites. They're always against the Israelites. There's a war going on. Why would Elimelech take his family into that land? I have no idea. But here's the reality. They live in that land. He's decided, see, it's not Naomi's fault. It's not her decision. Probably a good submissive Hebrew wife said, okay, Elimelech, whatever you want to do. Let me show you how bad it is. This is where looking up the words is really cool. They have two sons. One is named Mahlon. That happens to be Naomi's husband eventually. Mahlon means sick. Chilion means pining. Pining. What does pining mean? I'm going to read you the definition of the word. Okay. Very sad, longing for the old ways, the way it used to be. Mental and physical decline because of a broken heart. Why would you name your kid sick and broken heart? Why? Because that's what they're in. That's where they're raised. They're raised in a time of famine, and the people of God are not walking with God, and they're experiencing, you know, all this bad stuff happening to them because the people of God are not walking with God. And so Naomi and Elimelech have children, and, well, let's just name them after what's going on in our lives. Sickness and pining. Longing for the old days, the way it used to be. Longing for something better. Have you ever been there? You know, as you age, you're just like, oh, I find myself doing that. I wish it was the way it used to be. Yeah. Yeah. Right? I mean, you know, you're only in your 40s and you're already saying that. So,
70s, yeah.
Yeah. Friends, that is not a good place to be. Okay? According to the Word of God, that's not a good place to be. We don't ever want to go back. We always want to go forward into the new, right? God does new things. And we got to watch what comes out of our mouth, because we speak sickness and we speak longing for the better days. Okay? And so what happens is this family is, because they went into the land of Moab, they're under a curse. They're in the world. They're not of the world, but they choose to go back into that world. God had called them out of that world and separated them, said, trust me, I'll be your provider. I'll give you the man. I'll give you whatever you need to survive. I'm your king. Okay? Are you with me? Is this making sense? Is this story making sense? Never heard anybody preach this before, but you know, I just encourage you to get into the Word and look up some Hebrew. When God speaks, you say, Holy Spirit, I want you to speak a fresh word. Mm-hmm. Friends, we are there right now today. The Church of Jesus Christ, dare I say, has embraced the world. Right. And they are allowing the world in the church, and we are suffering for saying no to God and yes to the world. And we are going into that place, into that land that God has cursed, instead of staying in the land of blessing, okay? And we're starting to change our theology. We're starting to change our God. We're starting to make a God in our image, one that we like, one that fits our theology, our changing theology, which ought never to change. It should be focused on, my God is king. Amen. I named you so you would remember what it's all about. My God is king. In land, there is no king, but God is king. And this is a book between Joshua and Judges and the arrival of a king, King David. Okay? It's such an affront to God. I don't want to get too carried away here, but it's such a message. If you follow the Bible, God always wanted to be king. From the garden, he wanted to be king. And Adam and Eve's story is, we don't want you to be king. We want to be king. We want to make decisions for our lives. And they said no to God. And the moment they said that, sin entered in. It's our own choosing. We are by nature objects of wrath. We want sin. We love sin until God, the King, Jesus Christ, comes and pulls us out of this world and rescues us and comes to indwell us. Okay? Anyway, here's the story of Naomi from Bethlehem in Judah. I mean, she's the chosen. She is a chosen people. She leaves Judah, praise, to go into Moab, which is cursed. They entered the land of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. There's the effects of the curse. Premature death. Okay? For leaving the land God had promised, stepping into the world and allowing the world to become your home. And I may be making too much of this, but it's very clear to me they should have stayed in Bethlehem. How do I know that? Because those who do stay in Bethlehem, right? His family, whom Boaz is, his brother and his other brother, are doing really well. They just waited it out, and they did really well. But Elimelech, in his, well, I got to feed my family. I'm not really trusting God. I'm going to trust myself to provide for my family. You ever been there? You don't want to get there. Okay, as a follower of Jesus, you want to keep trusting Jesus. So they die. He's in there with his children. Elimelech dies. And his children, because the influence of the dad is gone. Well, here's another sermon I could preach for an hour. What happens? Those two sons end up marrying women that God said don't marry. Okay? Do not marry the women of the land I'm bringing you into. Okay? I want you to remain pure and steadfast and follow me and marry within your clan, marry in my people. Okay? Do not be unequally yoked. You want to put it in modern language that Paul uses. The moment we do that, the house is divided. The moment the house is divided, guess what? The enemy's right there waiting to come in. So the enemy comes in. What happens? The two boys end up dying. Now we got two women. We got an older woman and her daughter-in-law, two daughters-in-law. Whew, this is a sad state. She is beside herself. She's a woman alone in a foreign land. Like if you had a map, you would see that she's way down here in the land of Moab. The Dead Sea is here, and Bethlehem is way over here on the other side of the Dead Sea. Okay? She's way far from her land, her country. She's got to make this journey all the way around the Dead Sea and through the Jordan River and back on the other side into Bethlehem. Alone. No men in her life. Okay? Two women. One older, one younger, maybe 20s. Now they're traveling together and they're doing this trek back to the land where she came from. It's a journey. It's a journey of faith. I wrote down, it's a bad time, and bad times require change. When the Lord wakes you up, it's time for change. When you realize what a mess we've gotten into, my whole life is falling apart, my husband's gone, my two sons are gone, any potential for me as a widow to be looked after by my sons is over and done with, and now I have to go try to grovel back to my homeland and hopefully someone will have mercy on me. This is her journey. This is the journey of the desert, going into the desert, okay, because of sin, because of choices, not even our own, and saying, God, I got to get back to you. The good news in this story is Naomi is a godly woman. She is a godly woman. She married into the best tribe, the tribe of Judah. She married a godly man who is named My God is King. And even though it's really difficult, let's start looking at some of this. Verse 15. Well, in 13, she says, the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me. Why would you girls want to follow me? The hand of the Lord is against me. We get a picture of how low this woman is, how far into the depths of despair and bitterness she has fallen. Verse 16. Well, we'll get there, but let's go to verse 20. Do not call me Naomi, which means delight or pleasant. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? We learn a lot from those two verses. She has a relationship with God. Okay? I am not going to go after Naomi for being in that state of, I don't believe she's blaming God, but she's recognizing that there must have been something wrong for this to happen to me. Something, whether it's in my control or not, has happened, and now I am suffering the consequences of the choices. Okay? And God allows stuff in our life to discipline us, to bring us closer to Jesus. Friends, I said this before, I keep saying it again because I'm going through this myself. When you have a healing ministry, and I don't want to be labeled a charismatic. I want to be labeled a man of God who follows the word of God. And I cannot say that God does not want us sick. God does not want us to ever experience troubled times or darkness or suffering. That's not who God is, because he uses those things to transform us into the image of his son. He uses those things to display his power and his glory to us, okay? So when people come for prayer here, it's, God, what do you want to do? We spend a lot of time praying for that person before they come so that we can hear the voice of God. And often it will be a choice that they have made that has led them into that situation, okay? But sometimes it's a choice someone else has made and they're suffering the consequences.
Right.
And they were brought into a curse by a husband or a father, whatever it is, okay? And so my point is, you know, even as Paul says, I want to share in the sufferings of Christ that I might know him more. You see, it's in the suffering and it's in the trials of life where we see God really move. And we don't want to say, oh, please, God, take away the suffering. No, we want to say, God, show me what you want me to see while I'm going through this. Allow me to see you in this place with me. And you know, we have emotions. We have real feelings. We have real, sometimes we get frustrated. I don't encourage you to get mad at God. I don't like that. But I do encourage you to allow your voice to come out to the one who can do something about it.
Yeah.
You know, why, God? Why? Oh, Lord, how long? Right? As we heard already. That's a good prayer. God loves to hear the cry of his people. Yeah. If you read the book of Judges, it's the cry of his people that motivates him to move. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Naomi, poor woman, suffering terribly. But I want you to see something. She uses two words here for God. The first one is Almighty. Shaddai, El Shaddai. The all-powerful, almighty God. And the word Shaddai comes from the Hebrew word shad, which means breast. And it's a picture of a God who holds his children close to his breast. That's how the name comes. And so he's not only is he all-powerful, he's a God who takes his children and close to his breast and feels what they're going through and then is able to step out and do something to rescue them. That's who she's talking to, El Shaddai. Are you with me? This is our God. And then she uses this other word. I went out full, but the Lord, not Adonai, Yahweh. Who is Yahweh in the Old Testament? He is the I am that I am, the one that revealed himself to Moses, the covenant God. The covenant God with whom she has covenant, who has chosen her and brought her into his family through the covenant, the Mosaic covenant at this time, okay? Are you with me? There's a relationship, there's a deep relationship between Naomi and her God. Mm-hmm. And even though she seems like really in despair and bitterness, she's still crying out to God who has witnessed against me. He sees her, okay? He knows what she's going through. And she's trying to figure out in her own mind, there's nothing wrong with this. Many of you have been there, and maybe you're still there. Why did you take my husband? I don't understand it, God. I'm suffering. I'm having a hard time. Why did you take my child? I don't know. I can't figure it out, but I'm bitter. And I'm struggling. But she cries out to him. She knows him. And he knows her. That's Naomi. Verse 22 is amazing. You got to look at the text. And this play, it is a play. It's a four-part play, and it's written very eloquently, and it moves. It's very moving, and it's got all the imagery of a good play. You know, if you were to sit down and watch a play at the Stratford Theater, you would hear some of this, and it evokes a picture in your mind. And so she's in deep, dark despair, and she's suffering, and the chapter closes with this. Naomi returned with Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, who returned from the land of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. What a great picture. She's leaving death. She's leaving a time of suffering and darkness. She's in a foreign land, and she steps back into her hometown, and it's a time of harvest. The fields are ripe. Everything is growing. It says here, she actually left because, verse 6, the Lord had visited his people in giving them food. That's verse 6. God is blessing his people. I'm one of his people. I'm going back into the blessing. I'm getting out of the land of curse, and I'm going back into the blessing. I got to make it back to the people I belong with. Hey, are you with me?
Yeah.
Friends, this is the heart of the message. We do not identify with that people out there, okay? That people out there has said no to God. They have said, we want to do what's right in our own eyes. For us, there is no king, okay? We will do anything against the word of God. We don't believe the word of God. We'll do everything to show that we don't follow any God. We are God. That's the world. If you choose that world, if you allow that world in your church will be corrupted. It will go into a time of darkness. And I give you examples even in this city, okay, of churches who have said yes to the world. They went from hundreds and hundreds of people down to almost nobody. Okay? We cannot allow the world. We are the people of God. We cannot allow the world to tell us what to do and to dictate our lives. We need to say no to the world and yes to Jesus, even if that means going through a hard trial and a long journey getting back to him, depending how far we've left. Okay? You're with me. This is the message God wants to hear us to hear this morning. There's really good news. She's not going alone. Okay, Ruth, this is one of the most beautiful passages in Scripture. You probably heard it at most weddings you've been to. But Ruth, something about her, God is moving in her. Orpah said, no, I'm going to go back to my people. But Ruth says, I don't want to leave you. Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. There it is. Her God in Moab was Molech. He was a terrible deity. You know, it's not even a real deity. It's always a shrine or idol, something made up. But they would offer children to him. Child sacrifices, they would worship this false god. And she's making this decision. I don't want my gods anymore. I see your God. I've heard about your God. I've been watching you, and I've been watching how you relate to your God. And I want your God, and I'm choosing your God. And I'm making a choice right now. And friends, this is salvation. This is a picture of salvation. I'm leaving my world of pagan idolatry and doing whatever I want to satisfy my flesh and my desires, and I'm choosing your God. Okay, that's a choice every believer, every follower of Jesus has to make at some point. No to the world, yes to Jesus. Okay, that's what she's doing. My God is going to be your God. Your God is my God. We are going to have the same God because you are a woman of God, Naomi. And I am choosing you. And your God, where you die, I will die, and I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if any, but death parts you and me. She must have been watching this family. She must have been watching this woman. Naomi must have been an evangelist and telling her stories about the Jewish God that she worshipped. And Ruth says, I want that God. And Ruth ends up being a blessing to Naomi. Do you understand that? This is a phenomenal story. I don't want to get into the whole story, but I hope you go home and read the story. Because it's through Ruth that Naomi is blessed. It's interesting, she says here in verse 11 of chapter 1, "Return, my daughters, why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb? Can I have children for you to marry again? Do you think that's possible? Is it possible for me to have children? I'm actually past childbearing. My time is over. Don't come with me. Even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons tonight, would you therefore wait until they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is harder for me than for you, for the hand of the Lord is against me." Don't follow me. God's hand is against me. My life is done. It's over. Been there, done that. I can't do it again. Okay? If you come with me, it's just going to be heartache and sorrow. So that's the choice. But Ruth knows something. Ruth, God, the Holy Spirit is working in Ruth.
That's right.
Friend, we don't hear a lot of God here, except people talk about him, but we don't see God. But God is working in the middle of this dark, depressing, discouraging, bitter story. God is working in his people. And friends, he's working in us, okay? No matter what you're going through. Some of you, you're just tired and you know, you probably feel like Naomi. Like, this is a hard life. I've been waiting a long time for answered prayer, and I'm getting discouraged, and maybe I'm even getting bitter. And God says, I'm working. I never sleep or slumber. I'm working. And then chapter 2 starts. Now Naomi had a kinsman, a redeemer, a relative, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. There he is again. My God is king. My God is king, whose name was Boaz. She goes back to her people, and immediately she's reminded, I belong to king, to the king, to God. Okay? This is the thing. When you choose to leave the world and you get back into God, suddenly you realize, he's my king. He's in control. He's the one I need to be with. And friends, it's chapter 1. You can write this down. Bad times require change.
Yes.
I think Christine is right. This is prophetic. If you're experiencing hardship, you need to allow the Lord to examine you, to reveal your heart. Okay? And you need to allow him to expose. That requires you sitting with his word and sitting with him personally and allowing him to speak. Because what God will do is he'll lead you to change. Okay? And it's going to be a tough time. Because there's going to be an inner battle, and Satan doesn't want to let go. If he's in your life and he's keeping you in misery, he doesn't want to let go. But you need to say, it's time for change, and change is what I'm going to do. Okay? And then the moment I label chapter 2, change brings favor from God. The moment you say, I'm choosing God, then the favor comes. Listen, God starts working in their lives and bringing favor into that. You can highlight, you go through this book and highlight all the times the word favor comes up. Ruth, just because of following Naomi, she's suddenly under the favor of God. She's chosen God, the king, instead of her God, and she's immediately placed in the favor of God. Okay? Are you with me?
Yep.
Friends, it's a choice.
Yes.
God is calling us to do. Okay? Don't put yourself in the world. Keep yourself in the love of God, Jude says. Keep yourself in Christ. Okay? And you will experience the grace. And then the story is Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. That's a beautiful story. And I should probably preach about 4 sermons on this text, but that's not the message today. Verse 10, though, she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, said, "Why have I found favor? That's Ruth in your sight." So she's experienced the favor of God. She's working in the fields, and she's bringing back food to her mother-in-law. And they went into the land, back to her people, looking for food. They left it. It's the land of Bethlehem. They go back, and they start receiving food, the very thing they were missing in the other land. You see, they've stepped into the blessing of God by making a choice. Okay? It's a big choice. It's a choice we all need to make. And it's just a beautiful story. Anyway, they step in the harvest, and the harvest comes. I'm going to take you to the last chapter. Because in the last chapter, we get the fulfillment of Naomi's decision. I'll give you my 4 points. Chapter one, bad times require change. Number two, change brings favor from God. Number three, favor leads to promise and redemption. That's chapter three. And we see that as Boaz, the redeemer of Naomi. Now, this is very key. We think that Boaz is the redeemer of Ruth. He's actually the redeemer of Naomi, because she's married to Boaz's brother. Okay? Elimelech. Friends, this is a story of Naomi. Ruth, because she covenanted to follow, because she stepped into the covenant of God's people and chose to ally herself with God's people, she receives the blessing. Are you with me? Okay? But the story is about Naomi. She meets Boaz, and Boaz agrees to redeem her. There's another guy who's closer than him, but he doesn't want the, you know, he says, if she has kids, then they're going to be after my land. So there's so many remarkable things in this story, but Boaz is not married. He even says at one point, why would you choose me, an older guy? God has kept him for Ruth. God's hand is all over this family. Anyway, the choices they make bring fruit. Hallelujah. Let's go to the near the end of chapter 4. The good news. Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. Verse 13. They had a child together. She gave birth to a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, the women of Bethlehem, the house of bread where God dwells, blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today, and may his name become famous in Israel. And his name is famous. Boaz is very famous among the Jews. May he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. Wow. Remember back in chapter 1? She's making excuses. I can't have a son. I can't have a son. My life is over. I'm in a bad way. I can't provide what you're looking for. That's okay. God's able to use Ruth to bring you a son. And it says, then verse 17, the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, a son has been born, not to Ruth, to Naomi. So they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. And there's the story. Her decision led to a harvest. Okay? You know the story. David and all his descendants. We are descendants of David. Jesus Christ is a descendant of David. We are in Christ. We are her descendants all the way back. Yes, God worked through a pagan woman named Ruth, but he really was working in the life of his daughter who was experiencing hardship. And she got sucked into that. She got led into that, probably maybe by no fault of her own. I'm sure she pleaded with Elimelech, please, God, curse Moab. In chapter 23 of Deuteronomy, it says we can't even fellowship with the Moabites. Okay? It says they're cursed people. Why would we go there and look for something that only God can give us anyway? I'm sure she had that conversation. Elimelech said, trust me, I know what I'm doing.
And then he dies.
Yep, and then he dies, and then her kids die, and the consequences come. Right? But God didn't leave her there. He didn't leave her in her suffering. He didn't leave her in her bitterness. He took her back. All she had to do was make a choice. I'm going back to the Lord. That's really what choosing to go back to Judah and Bethlehem, to the land of promise, to the land where God gives bread. That's where I'm going. Okay? That's the message, friends. The message is this. God said very clearly, the world is a mess. We are seeing the fruit of its choices. Okay? Canada has embraced things that go against God. And there's hope for Canada. But until they turn, there are consequences, just like the people of God. And there's droughts, and there's floods, and there's fires, and all the stuff God said would happen to Israel if they left him is happening to us because we've left our God. The story is, stay with your king. Return to your king. My God is king. And every Christian needs to say, my God is king. Trudeau's not my king. Cam Guthrie's not my king. Jesus Christ is my king. He's my provider, even in tough times. When it comes, when the fires come and burn up my house and my fields, Jesus Christ is my king. I'm not going to run to the world. I'm going to trust the Lord, right? And this is just the message that Jesus gave in Matthew 6. Okay, and I've said it almost every week now. Seek first the kingdom of God. Do not worry about your life, what you shall wear, what you shall eat, where you shall live. Seek first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added. Seek God, the King and His kingdom, and everything else will be added. And I just want to encourage you, friends, if you know, I have a heart for the church. God has been speaking to me about the church, and I don't know, I'm praying about my role in that, whether I start going into churches and prophetically declaring the word of the Lord. I don't know what's going to happen, but we are the church of Jesus Christ. We have one King, and we pledge allegiance to Him. The moment we go to the world and say, "World, help me," we have set up an idol beside Jesus, or we've dethroned Jesus from our lives, and we've allowed the world to become king. And that's what God is trying to get us to not do. Okay? We need to allow Jesus to be king of our lives. When we choose Jesus, we will live in the town of Bethlehem where there's lots and lots of bread, and it's harvest time. And it's harvest time now. I just want to tell you something. It's harvest time now. Even though it looks like the church is going to hell in the handbasket, it's harvest time. Use the basket to pick up your harvest. Okay? It's harvest time. We can choose the land that God has cursed, or we can choose the land of blessing. And it might be a difficult journey for some of us. Okay? Now, we know that Naomi was from that land. She's just going back to the Lord. But Ruth had to leave her land. She had to leave her family. She had to leave everything behind. She had to leave her God behind. For her, it was a big choice, and she chose it. Okay? And she received the blessing just as Naomi did. Okay? So much so that her name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And she gave birth. She was the great-great-grandmother of Jesus. Okay? That's a pretty big story. Just like Rahab the prostitute.
Yeah.
Right? It was suffering. That land was cursed. That city, Jericho, was cursed. She chose Jesus. She chose to ally herself with the people of God. Yeah. It's a great redemption story. Mm-hmm. And it's the same as Joseph. Okay? Yeah. It's look where I am now. Look, I'm in a pit. Then I end up accused. And then I'm in a prison. A pit to a prison to the palace. Okay?
Yeah.
That's a sermon for you to preach someday.
Like that.
That's the story of Joseph. Trials are going to come. But what are you going to do in the trials? You're not going to abandon your God. You're going to run to God. You're going to allow Him to work.
That's right.
Right? And just sit back and go, wow, I could not imagine, God, you would get me out of this mess. But you did it. You are almighty. And you are Yahweh, the covenant God. And I have covenanted myself to you. And that makes all the difference. Okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. What a great God He is. Never gives up on us.
Yes.
Have you covenanted to God? Let's go into communion. Think about this. When, on the night before He went to the cross, and then He was betrayed. He'd been working with these guys 3 years. He sits them down at a final meal, and this meal is different than any other meal. They've celebrated the Passover before, but this Passover is totally different. Okay? And He picks up the bread. He says, "This is My body broken for you." Okay? My body. This is My body. I give to you My body. And He has been teaching them that you are one with Me. You are united to Me. Just before He went, before He was arrested, He gave them the great sermon of John 17. It says, "I and the Father are one, and you are one with Me." Okay, we are one. This bread here represents you and me. We are one piece of bread. And He broke it and gave it to them, and they ate it together. It says, we are the body. This is My body. And when you ingest this, you are part of My body. And then He took the cup and He said, "This is the new covenant of My blood. I am shedding My blood to bring you into the new covenant so that you can be part of the covenant community of God." And when you are under that covenant community, you are now in the blessing of God. You have been ceremonially, this is a visual of you have now left the world and united yourself with Me, and I am shedding My blood as a sign, a seal of the covenant. That's what communion means. Communion. Mm-hmm. Union with Christ. Okay? We are united in Christ because of His shed blood and broken body. And friends, I really believe, as I've been meditating on Ruth. It is a picture of the of Boaz as the redeemer. He is Naomi's redeemer. And you probably never heard this before, but I'm going to throw it out there. Ruth is a picture of Holy Spirit. What is the name for Holy Spirit? Comforter and Paraclete, the one who comes alongside. And Ruth was put in Naomi's life to come alongside her and lead her into complete redemption, where she experiences the blessing of God by being covenanted again to her people. Okay? And for me, it's such a beautiful picture of the work of Holy Spirit in our lives and the work of Christ to redeem us. Holy Spirit draws us, makes sure we get into the promised land, back to the people of God, and then the Redeemer comes and applies his blood to us, washes and cleanses us from being in the world. Okay? That's communion. For me, that's communion. The great work that Christ has done to bring us into the fellowship of the redeemed. Are you the fellowship of the redeemed?
Amen.
Through Christ? Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Let's share this together. Just take a moment to reflect. What do you have to let go of to really become part of the fellowship? Really come into the covenant, to really allow yourself to get out of the world and back into restoration with the fullness of God.